Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Happy Friday morning, 9 minutes after 9 o'clock. I'm Andy Griffin. This is Open Line Friday. Feel free to call 673-5890 to be a part of the show today if you've got something on your mind. And, you can text me anytime, 435-467-5842. Later on in the show, I will be giving away some stuff. So stay tuned in for the stuff, right? In the meantime, we're going to do a little chat and a little talk about a couple of things that are in the news for today. The big one I'm going to hold up for just a second. We'll get to the big one in a minute. A couple of, first of all, some good news. Interest rates are down. Mortgage rates, I should say, are down again. But they're never going to be down. If you're like me and you refied back, in 2020 or whatever, or whenever, 2019, whenever the rates were super low, they're never going to be close to that again. You know, I think my house is like 2.75 or 2.8 or something. Like, it's never going down there again. But if you can get it at 5.99 or something now, then might be something worth thinking about for you if you're not in that low bracket. But yeah, good news. Mortgage rates are down. Unfortunately, home prices are still high. In fact, I read a statistic the other day that purchasing a new home is actually cheaper than purchasing an existing home right now. For the first time in history, purchasing a new home is cheaper than purchasing an existing home of the same size and everything. It's interesting. Other good news, let's see. Utah saw fewer fatalities this year in the 100 deadliest days of summer. So the 100 deadliest days is a phrase that was coined a few years back, marking the approximate, I think it's 101 or 99. Anyway, the 100 days between Memorial Day and Labor Day. And I remember their original, catchphrase was zero fatalities during the 100 days of summer. It's a number we can all live with, which is kind of a play on words. It's cute and everything, but given the fact that during the 100 deadliest days of summer, we've averaged over the last decade about one death a day, so about 100 deaths during the 100 days, that zero fatalities, the number we can all live with thing, is kind of almost it's almost a mock. It's almost like, yeah, we know we're not going to get this. But the good news is we were actually down this year. Now, the number is still way higher than we'd like. 78 people died on Utah roads between Memorial Day and Labor Day, 78 in 100 days. That's down 18% from last year. Last year was 94. There have been years in recent times that were over 100, more than one a day. But I guess that's good news. Only 78 people died, and that includes the four deaths we had in the area just this last weekend. The wrong way driver, that there were three deaths in that instance, and then the truck driver that died in Kanab, near Kanab. So there were actually four in one day. I think these were all Sunday. And we were well below the average, but those four count as part of the 100 dead list. And, so I guess it's good news. We're down to 78, and we're never going to be zero. I mean, people die on the roads, and any time you have high speed, I would actually like to know the number of those that were on the freeway. Of the four that died this weekend, three of them were on the freeway. One of them was on a highway, US 89. So even though it wasn't a freeway, it was a high rate of speed. And speed kills. Quite frankly, speed kills. So will we ever be to zero? No. Can we get it lower than 78? Maybe. Probably. Will we get it down to below 50? Probably not, because our population is growing and it's going to get worse before it gets better. But, unless they find a way to... Do you remember that film? What was the name of it? It was set in not too distant future, like 20 years from now, 30 years from now. And in the film, they had, instead of airbags, they actually had, you got in a crash and the car filled with foam, big old thing of foam. And supposedly that would save your life. It would ruin the interior of the car, of course. But I guess if you're in a bad enough crash that the foam would go off, who cares what the car looks like as long as you're safe. And until they do something like that, and they, even then, I don't know if that would help if you're going 90 miles an hour and you crash. But it was, what's the name of that movie? I'll have to see if I can find that. We're never going to get a zero. We're never going to do it. But, and I'm not being pessimistic. I'm being realistic here. I think 78, if we can get below 70 in the 100 deadliest days of summer, below 70 fatalities, I think we're saying something. All right, this other story I want to talk about, but first let me mention real quick, tomorrow and Sunday, as a matter of fact, is a Dixie Home Show. Tomorrow, I'm going to be there from 11 to 1, and I would love for you to come say hi. I will have a couple of Angelica's gift cards to give out, but the big prize, not to downplay Angelica's because they're amazing, but the big prize is, it's worth like $100 now, it is a all-day pass to Lagoon. I have two of them. One person who wants to can come up to me and say, hey, I heard you talking about Lagoon on the radio. I would love to get that Lagoon pass, those two passes from you, if that's possible. Now, I will say this. I am not going to give those Lagoon. So if you're going to get them from me, they're not going to be between 11 and 12. It's going to be between 12 and 1. Because what will happen, if I give it away too early, then all the rest of my breaks that I'm doing during this live remote, this live broadcast, will be invalid. I won't be able to talk about Lagoon. So if you want the Lagoon passes from me, come to the Home Expo tomorrow at the Dixie Convention Center, and don't even ask me before 12. I'm not giving them out before 12. I'll give some Angelicas out before 12, but I won't give these Lagoon passes out until after 12, probably closer to 1. We'll see. Anyway, look forward to seeing you there at the St. George Home Expo at the Dixie Convention Center. I'll be there tomorrow from 11 to 1. All right, the other story that is, it was red hot, right? The story, the head-on collision, the wrong-way driver. But this story has kind of eclipsed a little bit. And it's because there's a feel-good aspect to this story. The story of the wrong-way driver, the 89-year-old that got on the freeway the wrong direction here in southern Utah and caused her and two other people to die. There's no feel-good there. There is not. I mean, I guess you could positive spin and say, well, two people in the second car that were in the back seat lived. So there's good news there. But this story from Springville, it has a definite positive spin to it. So here's the story. A man and his wife, actually newlyweds, they'd only been married a few months, were walking hand in hand down the street, Main Street, downtown Springville. And guy came screaming around the corner. And it was a guy in a big pickup pulling a trailer. And I don't know about you, but I've actually gone over this scenario in my head, right? You're walking with your sweetheart, and a car jumps the sidewalk. Car's headed right for you. In this case, a truck, a big truck, big pickup truck. Well, big old 4x4, you know, big old thing. And the man has to make a split-second decision. Do I try to get out of the way? Do I kind of submit to my fate? Do I, at the very least, try to save my wife? There really isn't time for both of us to get out of the way. But if I can just, I mean, all this is going right. We're on the radio. We're talking about this for 5 minutes. This is split second. This is happening in a heartbeat. This guy has to decide what he's going to do. And the first instinct is I'm going to jump out of the way. But he realizes, and again, this is all split second. He realizes there's not time for that. So he turns to his right and shoves his wife out of the way, his newlywed wife out of the way. He's 25 years old. The truck hits him full force, head on. He's pedestrian. He's dead. It's it. He's done. It's over. His wife, thanks to his quick thinking and his forceful push or shove, is not harmed. Not, I mean, you know, she got shoved and fell down, but she wasn't harmed physically harmed and certainly not killed. And like I said, I've gone over the scenario in my head many, many times. I thought about this. I'm like, what would I do? And I have determined in my head, and I've had people tell me over the years, people in authority say, look, there are going to be situations in your life where if you leave it up to the moment to make the decision, you probably won't make the right one. There are certain moments in your life where you've got to decide beforehand what you're going to do. One of them, I remember as a young man, it was either my dad or some other ecclesiastical leader said, listen, you are going to be offered drugs at some point in your life. Somebody's going to offer you illegal drugs. And if you don't decide until that moment whether or not you're going to take that offering, you're going to make the wrong decision. There's a pretty good chance you're going to go, oh, yeah, why not? You know, if your buddies, hey, everybody's doing it. Hey, this is free. You want to try it? It makes you feel good. If you haven't decided before that moment that you're not going to do that, then you're probably going to do it. And you're, you know, maybe starting a life of addiction and who knows, right? But if you decide beforehand, I am not going, when that happens, I've already decided, I'm saying no, I'm not going to do it. Then you have a much better chance of saying no when that moment does arrive because you've already decided. And this can be applied in a lot of situations in life. I mean, you know, things like, you know, going to a restaurant and saying, I'm not going to eat cheesecake today. If you already decided I'm not having cheesecake, then when dinner's over and the waitress comes, the server comes and says, hey, we have the best cheesecake in town. You want a piece? Well, if you haven't decided yet and she says it like that, you're like, maybe. But if you already decided I'm not going to have a cheesecake, piece of cheesecake. And by the way, I love cheesecake. Don't get me wrong. Then you're, you know, if you already decided, then you already know the answer. So back to the accident now with this guy. By the way, his name is Matthew Daines, D-A-I-N-E-S, Matthew Daines. He's a hero. He decided, he had to have decided in advance, if this situation ever comes up, I'm going to push my wife out of the way, save her life, even if it means I lose my own. He had already decided that. I remember as a young married guy thinking the same thing, making that. Now, fortunately for me, it never came to fruition. I never had to that. But Matthew Daines had decided in advance, I am going to, if this happens and there's not time for both of us to get out of the way, I'm going to make sure my wife is safe. I'm going to give my wife, my life for my wife. And he did. And even though Matthew lost his life, he died a hero. There's a picture now. Somebody, don't know who, somebody hung a Superman cape from the telephone pole right by where Daines was killed. Superhero. He's a hero and he's super. He can't see, you know, he can't have x-ray vision or can fly, but he is a hero who is super. 25-year-old Matthew Daines saved his wife's life and gave his own. It's incredible. Now, some of the fallout from the crash. Of course, Daines is dead. The man who was driving the truck that lost control and jumped the curb, first of all, he's driving a big old truck and it was pulling a trailer, so there was a lot of weight behind that thing. The man that was driving, and by the way, this wasn't like late at night. This was evening time. The man is 41-year-old Travis McIntyre. Now, this is where legalese comes in. I have to throw alleged this and alleged this and, you know, some of those words. But McIntyre was... This is not alleged. This is what happened. They did a blood alcohol test on him after the crash. He came in at 0.30. Now, think about that. The legal limit is 0.05%. He came in at 0.30. That is six times the legal limit. Six times the legal limit of being qualifying for drunk in the state of Utah. McIntyre was, he had open containers of alcohol in his truck. He was confused and disoriented at the scene. And now, Mr. McIntyre is in jail facing 10 counts, including the most serious count, which is automobile homicide. Matthew Daines' family has set up a GoFundMe page to help his wife pay for the funeral expenses and make it through the whole thing. But to me, this is a real testament of make your decision beforehand. What would you do? What I think most of us, I don't think I'm going too far in assuming this. I think most of us would give our life for our spouse or our children. I wonder, though, say I was walking down the street with one of my coworkers. Would I shove him out of the way or her? Just give my life so they could live? Would I don't know. I mean, certainly I would for my wife. Certainly I would for one of my children or grandchildren. Would I do that for, you know, Dave that works over in the other studio? What if it was a stranger? Would you, I heard, this actually hurts my heart, but there were stories from World War II that Nazis would come in and they would tell parents, which one of your children do you want me to kill? Do you want me to shoot? And the parent, of course, said, well, shoot me. They're like, no, we're not going to shoot you. Which of your children do you want to die? And this is right in front of the kids. And they say, listen, we're going to shoot one of your children. Which one will it be? Oh, my gosh. How would you even make that decision? And the Nazi says, if you don't tell me which one, I'm going to kill them both. Wow. Sorry, I got off on a tangent there, but I wonder, would we give our life for a stranger? Well, that's what police officers do. That's what the military does. They commit to, you know, I think about those two Tremont officers that were killed. They got called to a domestic disturbance and were gunned down. Their whole job is to go into dangerous situations and try to defuse them. And sometimes they can't. Sometimes they're ambushed, like what happened in Tremont. Maybe that's why I'm not a police officer. Maybe I'm not strong enough or brave enough or good enough to do that. I don't know. I know, like I said, being willing to sacrifice for your wife or your other loved one, I don't think that's that hard. But I think, I mean, we don't know until it happens. And unfortunately, it never happened, right? I didn't have to give my life so someone I love would live. Matthew Daines did. But giving your life for a stranger, for someone you don't know, what if you took the homeless guy who's addicted to crack? Would you give your life so he could live? I think most of us would be like, well, heck no. I got a wife and kids. I got a family. I'm not going to die so that guy can live on, right? That's kind of what police officers do, right? They have wives and kids and families, and they go into situations like what happened in Tremont with the unbalanced guy who'd been arrested for domestic several times, and they gave their life for this troubled guy who, by the way, now is in prison for the rest of his life, maybe death row, depending on what they decide. So some of these decisions, I think, are easy. Would you give your life for someone you love? Perhaps. Demolition Man, by the way, was the name of the movie. Sylvester Stallone and Sandra Bullock. Thank you to, let's see if I can get their name. Well, I don't have the name of who sent that to me, but thank you for answering. That was a movie that had the car fill with foam when they got in an accident. Oh, what a mess, right? Imagine getting in a crash and waking up in Cool Whip or being, kind of sounds fun, but also quite messy. Don't imagine the stuff would be edible anyway. Maybe shaving cream is a better comparison. 928 now on KDXU. Mello couldn't be here today. Mello had some family commitments he had to take care of. So we're flying solo today. But you know what? I would love to get your texts and calls. Text me at 435-467-5842. Call me at 673-5890. I'm reaching over here. I have, okay. I'm going to get, I get a really cool prize. This is for two Sweet Waves at Quench It and $10 to Angelica's Mexican Grill. So you can go over to Quench It, get your drinks, and then go over to Angelica's and get some Mexican food. But you've got to text me right now, 435-467-5842. Text me, I don't know what you want to text, just text YUM, Y-U-M, YUM, to 435-467-5842. Two Quench It Sweet Wave drinks and $10 to Angelica's. If you'll text me right now, 435-467-5842. And again, a reminder, tomorrow I'll be at the St. George Home Expo at the Dixie Center, 11 to 1. I'll have some Angelicas with me, not very many, two or three of them. And then I will also have, in the 12 o'clock hour tomorrow, I'll be giving away two passes to Lagoon. I don't know what Lagoon costs anymore. I'm guessing it's around $100 a person, or, you know, between 50 and 100. So pretty cool prizes. Anyway, all right, let's get a winner to, again, 435-467-5842. Text me, YUM, to me for two Sweet Waves and $10 to Angelica's. And I'll go check my phone and we'll do weather.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
All right, we got Debbie is the winner of our prize today. Two Sweet Waves brought to you by InfoWest at Quench It. Also, $10 to Angelica's Mexican Grill there on the Boulevard. Congratulations, Debbie. I will have some more Angelicas. Just a couple, though. So, in fact, we need a code word, don't we? Let's see. Code word. Tomorrow, when you come see me at the Home Expo at the Dixie Convention Center, come up to me and say... let's stick with YUM. Say YUM. Say YUM to me, and I know that you were listening and you want to win some Angelicas. Now, I also have two passes to Lagoon. I'm telling you right now up front, I'm not going to give those away the first hour. 11 to 12 tomorrow, I won't give those away. Sometime between 12 and 1 is when I will give away the Lagoon passes. So, yeah, if you want to win the Lagoon passes, come after 12. If you want to win the Angelicas, come before 12, after 11. So that's at the Dixie Convention Center tomorrow, the Dixie Home Show. All right. By the way, expect flash flooding in Zion, also the canyons surrounding Lake Powell and Capitol Reef today and tomorrow. They say it is not a good, even though the weather will be cooler, it's not really a good time to go hiking, especially if there's a slot canyon anywhere close, because flash flooding could be a problem. All right, Senator Mike Lee, we've had him on the show here a few times. In fact, I got to work on getting him back on the show because he's a good guest. Anyway, Mike Lee is making news right now because he's kind of mad at the Wall Street Journal. And here's why. So, the Wall Street Journal just published a story called Exmo Influencers Mount a TikTok War Against the Mormon Church. And Mike Lee is basically saying, look, Wall Street Journal, when's the last time you published a story about the Catholic Church or about Judaism or about the Protestant Church or the Methodists or the Lutherans? Or, he said, there's a bunch of churches in our country, right? And many of them are much larger population-wise than the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So why is it news? Why do you guys decide to publish a story called Exmo, War Against the Mormon Church? Lee, who is a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, says that them publishing this story and the photos, which might be offensive to members of the church. Apparently, pictures of ex-Mormons wearing the temple garments, the sacred temple, not secret, but sacred temple garments out in public. So a lot of members of the church will find that offensive. But he says, why is that okay, Wall Street Journal? Why do you think this is cool? This is okay. We're going to pass it. We're going to put it up there. But why is the Mormon church fair game for you, Wall Street Journal, when you don't do that to other churches? So we'll see what happens. I have a feeling this is going to percolate a little and grow. The story might grow and get a little bigger. A couple of traffic updates I needed to mention. There was a big crash this morning on exit 16 in Hurricane. It was closed for a time. It is reopened now. Northbound Hurricane exit 16. Fortunately, again, it is reopened. The other one is, so the road they call University Avenue right now, which is 700 East, apparently there's going to be a couple of closures this weekend. So from 100 South to 300 South, right by the cemetery there, it'll be closed tomorrow. Completely closed. You're out to go around. And then on Sunday, from 300 South to 700 South, all the way past the college and everything, it will be closed. So just keep in mind that there are going to be some road closures. We can get angry. You can get a little road rage and do whatever and get mad. But truth of the matter is we want good roads, right? And all they're doing is resurfacing, putting new asphalt down. And we want new asphalt. We want smooth roads, right? Does it seem like to you, by the way, that roads are way better than they used to be? I remember growing up, and especially when I first learned to drive, I was first driving at 16 years old. And, of course, this would have been back in the 80s, which a lot of people, oh, that's ancient history. But it seemed like roads everywhere. And this was, I got my license in the Salt Lake Valley. It seemed like roads, even the freeway, but mostly the other surface roads, there were potholes and grooves and cracks and, I don't know. Is it just me? It doesn't seem like there are near as many now. Is it because of the technology and roads are getting better about not having potholes? Is it because I live in St. George and there aren't as many potholes in St. George as there are in Salt Lake because we don't get the snow plows and the snow and the salt and all the stuff on the roads that they get up there? I don't know. Just seems like it's better than it was, doesn't it? And 700 East being closed for a time Saturday and Sunday is worth it. I want better roads. Last night, of course, yesterday we had Michelle Randall on, the mayor of St. George City. Last night, Mayor Randall and the City Council, St. George City Council, honored firefighter Kai Beckstrand, who is a part-time firefighter for the city. Why did they honor him? Well, Kai just won American Ninja Warrior Season 17. In fact, he had to beat his brother in the semifinals to get to the championship, his brother Luke. But that's pretty cool. A note for those who are, okay, I wrote this story earlier today, and I'm going to kind of read a little bit of it, but it's short. Are you a bookworm or maybe an aspiring author? Well, the Southern Utah Book Festival is back for its second year. This will be in Cedar City. Same time as Dixie Days, September 15th through 20th. Now, if it was exactly the same, oh, they're both at 7 o'clock on Thursday. No, they're not both exactly the same time. They are, they're going on the whole week, right? So you can go to both. But the Southern Utah Book Festival is in Cedar City, September 15th through 20th. The week-long event will feature author panels, workshops, book markets, and special sessions with local students, seniors, and authors. Festival venues include the Cedar City Library, Main Street Park, Bookdom Apothecary, and the Southern Utah Museum of Art. For more information, go to their website at southernutahbookfestival.org. And that sounds pretty cool. Do you like to read? I like to read. A lot of times I'll have an author on the show, and this is a crazy mad rush. When I have an author on the show, I usually know maybe a week. No, I usually know a month in advance, but I don't get their book until maybe a week or sometimes 3 days before they're on. And that happened. I had Clay Travis on, and he sent me his book, American Playbook. And I just remember I got it like the day before. I had like 24 hours to read this book. Now, if you don't do anything else, you can read a book in 24 hours, no problem, right? But, you know, if you have a life to live, you've got to eat dinner and use the bathroom and go to work and do all the things we do in everyday life. Reading a, although you can do it while you're going to the bathroom, I guess. But anyway, reading a book in one day is pretty darn hard, and you kind of have to ignore your regular life, your wife or your kids or your grandkids or whatever for if you're going to read a book in one day, you kind of got to ignore them all. So anyway, it's cool that they're having this book festival. I'm curious, do you read books still? Number one. And text me if you're a book fan, 435-467-5842. Do you like to read books? And then what method do you choose to read? Do you still read a book, like a hardbound copy or a paperback? Or do you read like the electronic version on, you know, Kindle or, you know, there are other ways to read. Do you maybe play the audio of the book while you're driving? I found out that, you know, my good friend Terry Hutchinson, who plays bookmarks every morning and afternoon on KDXU, it's 2.5 minutes in the morning, it's 1 minute in the afternoon. But I said, Terry, when do you find time to read? He said, well, he says, I go back and forth a lot from Salt Lake to St. George. And he said, a lot of my reading is not actually reading, it's sticking in the audio and listening to the book. Now, there are little tricks, like I found that I can listen to something at 1.5 speed and still pretty much understand what's going on. 2X, if you put it on 2X speed, that one's a little harder to understand. But I had to do a thing at work, an internet safety thing, and they let me put it up to 2 speed, so I put it on there. Yeah, do you still read, and how do you read? What method do you use? Is it a hardbound, a soft cover, paperback, electronic? Or is there something I'm missing? Is there another way, digitally or whatever, that you read books? I'm curious to know. 435-467-5842. Just got a text. Jeanette says, hey, are you going to be interviewing the candidates for mayor and city council? Yes, the answer is yes, I am going to be doing that. I have not set it up yet, but I am, as we get closer to November, probably in October, so next month, I will be interviewing the candidates for mayor for all the cities that have mayor races, in particular Hurricane and St. George, and city council for most of the cities. I anticipate St. George, Washington, and Hurricane. Maybe I could be talked into Ivan's Santa Clara. City council members. The problem is I only have 1 hour a day. I already have some regularly scheduled guests. So squeezing them all in is not easy, but we will definitely do our best to make sure that you are informed as we get closer to voting. Voting is the first week of November. So like I said, probably right around the time they mail ballots out is when I will try to get those candidates on for you. It's 9:46 right now on KDX. I'll take a commercial break. Be back with more and to wrap things up here on the Andy Griffin Show after this timeout.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Good morning to you, 9:51 on KDXU. We've got some news and notes and things to talk about as we head toward the finish line here on KDXU. First of all, did you watch any of the RFK Jr. Testifying in front of the Congress, the whatever committee it was? Was it just me, or was he kind of... he was fine, but... All the people, the interviewers, the people that asked him questions, it's like they were all trying to make the news by giving some kind of 8-second soundbite, like, I feel that the earth is flat. You know, I mean, they didn't say that, but they were making some statement. They were almost looking at the camera and trying to make a statement that someone would use in their newscast. And it was just, it, it was almost comical how that happened over and over. They were looking for these little sound bites and whatever. Okay. Boy, I saw this on the news. Did you know that Nevada, the state of Nevada, has had 33 earthquakes in the last few days, last 4 days? 33 earthquakes. They are about 150 miles from Vegas, so none of them are right here. They're kind of northwest of Vegas. But still, you're like, wait, is something big about to happen? Why are all these earthquakes? Yeah, there have been a lot of earthquakes in Nevada the last 4 days. It's like, what's going on here? Interesting. Another great article online. I know, I keep talking about Jeff Minnick, but this guy's amazing. Everything he writes is pure gold, I think. He writes for the website Intellectual Takeout. His name is Jeff, M-I-N-I-C-K, Minnick. His latest article is, well, the headline explains it all. If you don't have to throw the kids in the bathtub, they haven't played hard enough. He talks about his experience. He met with a man who was in prison in Wabash, Indiana. He said the biggest punishment they have in the Wabash prison is to not let their prisoners go outside, to take away, they don't call it recess in prison, but to take away yard time or whatever in prison. That's the biggest punishment. So if you want your convicts to stay in line, you threaten to not let them go outside. He said, right now, if you're a well-behaved prisoner at the Wabash prison, you get 2 hours a day to be outside in the dirt, in the yard, and playing games and lifting weights and stuff. He says that is like gold to them. He said he didn't think much about it, whatever. And then he started thinking about his own neighborhood, this Jeff Minnick guy. And he's like, I found out recently that the next door neighbor has two kids. He said, I'd seen one of them on occasion getting into the car or doing whatever. He said, I'd never even seen the other kid. He said, they're kids. They're under the age of 14, and they don't play outside. And so it got Jeff Minnick to thinking, all right, I'm going to do some research on this. He found that the average time a kid under the age of 14 spends outside doing something other than in transit, you know, walking to the store, walking to the car, whatever, is 10 minutes a day. The average time a kid spends outside playing is 10 minutes a day. The same child, the same study, the same survey found that the average time a child today spends looking at a screen, whether it's the phone, it's a video game, it's a television, whatever, the average time that a child spends looking at a screen is 7 hours a day. The kids are looking at screens and not playing outside. They are. Now, you might say to yourself, I used to watch a lot of TV back in the day, right? Gilligan's Island and, you know, the Fantasy Island and Love Boat and all. Yeah, I used to watch TV. We did, but it was usually when it was dark and we weren't allowed to be outside. Now to say, just dismiss it out of hand and say, well, you know, they're bad kids. No, I mean, we didn't have smartphones when we were that age, and maybe we wouldn't have been any better. I don't know. But I do know that playing outside, playing, getting in the dirt, doing things like, you know, playing ball and you know, I mean, even Red Rover, some of those games, tag, whatever. That stuff's still important. And so the gist of the article by Jeff Minnick, and it's probably about 500 or 600 words long, is that you need to make sure the kids are getting outside and doing stuff. Now, I've always believed that a kid doesn't need a cell phone before the age of 16 anyway, before they're driving. Was I perfect at that? But no, my youngest had a phone earlier because we felt like we hadn't. When we were gone, I didn't want my youngest to not have a phone at home. So but at this point, there were no longer phone landlines. But and so she adopted this phone. It's a whole thing. But are phones evil? No, they are not evil. Can they be used for evil? Absolutely. Are we abusing them? Absolutely. Do there need to be, I don't know, laws or mandates? No, we just need to be better parents, I think. But to wrap up Jeff Minnick's article, as we're running out of time, he says, right now schools are opening all around the country and autumn's approach means that sweater weather is on the horizon. Studies and a drop in temperature make outside play more difficult, but even, no, not here in St. George, but even just a few minutes in the open air can enhance a child's well-being. So whether it's a trip to the park or if you're a city dweller or bundling up the kids and sending them out to explore the yard, fields, and woods, remember that an investment in outdoor time pays big dividends in childhood health and development. Think of vitamin D, right? I used to think it was a fallacy. You don't get vitamins from the sun. Yes, you do, actually. And you get benefits from, I'm not into grounding, right? That's, they say, where you're touching dirt and that, I don't know if that works or not. But I do know that being outside and doing things is good for our kids. Take them swimming. Take them to the park. Play on the playground. Take them, you know, enroll them in whatever sport it is they want to do. One of the things I really believed when our kids were little was I was going to get them in as many things as possible. Baseball, soccer, football, tennis, whatever we could get them into, dance, whatever it was. And if they didn't like it and didn't want to do it after trying it, that's cool. But I wanted to give them the opportunity to find a thing, their thing, whatever it is they were into. Now, two of my three sons, they were really into music. One was a great sax player. The other one, a great French horn player. They were really into that. I think it helped contribute to them becoming really, I think, fantastic, high-quality parents and adults now. My daughters, one of them was, well, they were both pretty into music, but also one daughter played volleyball and basketball. And you know, it was just, you find what it is they like, what it is they want to do. Give them a chance. Give them a chance to get dirty. Give them a chance to fail. It works. I'm out of time. It's gone. Holy smokes. We'll talk to you on Monday. See you later.
From the Angelica's Mexican Grill Studio, KDXU St. George, KDXU FM, KDXU FM HD, Colorado City.